So before we start, I just wanted to say Campaign Against Arms Trade and a lot of the other groups here are very supportive of the independent media who are here, and a big welcome to Indie Media for coming. Second thing, you may have noticed on your way in that our officers of the law outside. This has been a standard thing for anybody who's had anything to do with this campaign against the arms business or against this arms fair. They've been followed, they've been harassed by police officers. Police officers are stopping and searching people under Section 44 of the Terrorism Act 2000. This is legislation that is supposed to prevent terrorism but is actually being used against peaceful democratic protest. And that's an important thing to recognise. It is the Terrorism Act 2000, Section 44. I've got a copy of the relevant part here if anyone wants it from me afterwards. Nothing more to say on that particularly, except that people are being harassed and stopped and searched for merely, you know, walking down the road. And apparently the police officers say that the Section 44 applies to the whole of the London metropolitan area at the moment. So we're talking the whole of London. They can stop and search anybody they want in suspicion of terrorism. The third thing I want to quickly say before we crack on is just because groups are not here today doesn't mean that they're not involved in the arms business or that they're avoiding media attention. Just some people choose to speak to the mainstream media, some people choose not to. And specifically, I've been asked to say the Disarm Dicey group, which is like the umbrella group that has been coordinating for a year and a half some of the actions, some of the demonstrations, and some of the other groups that are involved against the arms fair. They didn't want to speak directly to the media. The reason being, they are representative, or they are a coordinating group of 60 different groups, and it was really important to them that they weren't specifically talking on behalf of any groups. They are, as it were, an umbrella coordinating committee. They're not organisers. Okay, moving on. Just quickly, this Defence Systems Equipment International. This is the third time this arms fair has taken place, and it is the second time that it's taken place all at in London, at London Docklands, which is the Excel Centre. In terms of data, 1,000, just under 1,000 exhibitors are going to be there, exhibiting everything from kind of small arms and ammunition to fighter aircraft. There's going to be helicopters and fighter aircraft inside the Excel Centre. There are going to be warships docked up on the banks there. So it's basically everything from kind of tiny ammunition all the way through military electronics to huge weapon systems are going to be exhibited there. Now, a lot of you will have picked up the press releases, so I'm not going to go on too much about the kind of issues that people are concerned about. But some of the main things are the kind of whole human rights, shipping arms to human rights. And we would argue at least half of the countries that have been invited to buy arms next week breach, one way or another, the UK Arms Export Control Act of July 2002. So this is New Labour's putting into law of its so-called ethical foreign policy. We would argue if the UK sold arms to half of the countries that have been invited, they would be in breach of New Labour's own law. Now, there's a piece of paper going around called Dicey Debunking the Myths. Important thing to point out is the government and the MOD's line on this is that just because they're invited to the arms fair doesn't mean we would sell them weapons. Well, the important thing to remember is half of the companies that are exhibiting are non-UK companies. So if an arms deal takes place between, let's say, Pakistan Ordnance Factories and a delegation from China, that has absolutely nothing to do with UK export licensing at all. So you've got the UK government paying for and facilitating arms deals which would or could breach its own arms legislation. So of concern are human rights abusers that have been invited to the fair. Regions of conflict, India and Pakistan is kind of a classic example. A year ago, they were at each other's throats, threatening each other with nuclear weapons. Nevertheless, next week, they will be shopping side by side for arms, ostensibly to use against each other. And then, of course, another important issue is development, international development and development of needy countries, especially in Africa. We are absolutely astounded to learn that Tanzania has been invited to shop for arms this year. You may remember the controversy last year when Tony Blair pushed through, even against Gordon Brown and Claire Short, the development secretary, the sale of a £28 million air traffic control system for Tanzania, which even the World Bank said it didn't need. Tanzania is not only labelled as one of the most corrupt countries in the world by Transparency International, but only has 8 fighter aircraft. Some would say that's an expensive system. The Tanzanian government celebrated, Tanzanian president celebrated by buying himself a personal jet to add to the 2 he already owned. 15 years ago, Saddam Hussein's henchmen were in Aldershot shopping for arms in the UK. Tomorrow, next week, we will be selling arms to the Saddam Husseins of the future. It is time for this cycle of war, this cycle of death and destruction, this cycle of human rights abuse, funded by the UK government, powered by UK arms companies, powered by political decisions, political meanderings over the rights and the needs of normal people in terrible poverty, in terrible, under terrible repressive conditions across the world. It is time for that to stop.